The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
Everyone, get in here!
Ready for action!
I've got the beast in my sight.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone, to the Angry Chicken. I'm Garrett, here as always with Jocelyn. How are you doing on this fine Tuesday, Joss?
Not too bad. Things might cut out. We'll see. We're currently under a severe thunderstorm watch. So, yeah, it's booming outside my house, but the mic isn't grabbing it. So that's good.
Yeah. So hopefully this will go smoothly. Or You may be signing up for an episode that has a lot of cuts and stitching together. And maybe I did a really good job and you'll never notice.
Maybe. Yeah, but you guys might hear the dog in the background too. We'll see. But yeah, this is going to be a great show.
It just means you're a good dog mom. That's really what it boils down to. You know, and I like to think when you invite the dog in, when it's storming outside, that you just do a full on Hearthstone role play. You're like, it's wet outside. Come in. Meanwhile, the dog's just barking and wants to like murder the storm. And is that a dog tail or a cat tail?
No, now the dog and the thunderstorm are scaring the cat. So now Thrall's here. So it's just one big happy animal family.
Nice. Yeah, I'm lucky. Two out of my three dogs don't really care about storms at all. But yeah, this episode filled up really fast with news, Joss. There's a lot about to happen in Hearthstone and a few things already happening.
I'm always worried on kind of Mondays that, you know, I'm putting the show notes together and stuff and I'm looking and I'm like, man, there's not a lot this week. Are we going to have enough to fill? I should probably, you know, we'll talk about this and this and this and, you know, pulling topics out of thin air. And most of what I come up with on Sunday and Monday gets cut because the beginning of the week starts and Hearthstone's like, bam, news, bam, news, bam, this thing. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cut.
Yeah. It's an early week news cycle for the most part with Hearthstone. There's always the chance of the Friday thing, but usually there's like one Friday thing and there's a relatively high chance of like 3 to 4 Tuesday things. You know, it happens for sure. But yeah, there's a lot of rad stuff going on. So before we get into it, want to thank our patrons supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. Thank you so much, folks, for supporting the podcast. It is the best way to support us. So if you want to get some awesome perks like early signups for our tournaments, access to the patron-only Discord where you can, you know, poke Jocelyn and I on the regular. You get to find out what decks we're doing for strategy early. You get to talk to folks who know how to play that deck and just make some Hearthstone friends. Plus some other things. Head on over to patreon.com/TAC. And to our latest patron, our latest Jocelyn, that's how caught up we are. We'd like to thank Carolyn H. Thank you, Carolyn. We appreciate the support. And while we're also in here and talking kind of about our community, we should talk about the Angriest Chicken Open because Saviors of Taco happened this past weekend, and it's time to congratulate our champion, Kemba, who piloted Highlander Warlock, Quest Paladin, and Highlander Hunter, because Priest was banned, to a hard-fought 3-2 victory against Epi Knights, Quest Paladin, Quest Druid, and Highlander Hunter. I don't think these
Questality, so fun.
I don't think these games were super short. This sounds like these games could go kind of long.
Yep.
A little bit.
And Highlander Warlock? That's so cool.
Yeah, I saw these a couple of those. Sound neat. Saw a couple of those in there. Seems to be a kind of a popular deck with our community. So good job. Also, Epi Knight's Quest Shaman was banned, in case you're kind of curious what happened in the finals in terms of banning and whatnot. So congrats to our top four. You have all won 15 Oldham packs. And congratulations to our two randomly drawn winners, Dryan and The Show. Folks, if you've never competed in a taco before, we always draw two random winners. So it's really, they're fun events. If you know, when the next one comes around, you should definitely give it a shot. You know, play against your fellow Angry Chicken fans in a fun community tournament, and you might even win yourself some packs. I did check before the show, and all of our winners have accepted my friend requests on Battle.net, and we do need to be friends, however, for 48 hours, I believe, before I can send you packs. And I'm about to travel tomorrow, so you might get your packs next week, everybody, but I promise I will get them out to you.
They're on the way.
Yes, exactly. I will totally get them out to you. And
coming soon, TM.
No, don't put the TM. It's definitely going to be soon. Definitely going to be soon. It will not be more than a week.
It'll definitely be way faster than any other Hearthstone tournament pays out. So there you go.
Oh, little shade. It just got a little dimmer in here, Joss. A lot of shade being thrown. Anyways, as mentioned, there's a lot to talk about in Hearthstone this week, so let's get right into it, because there's some there's what some people might call
good news, everyone.
There are some big changes coming, Joss, to Hearthstone.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff coming. I'm really excited, especially about the thing we're going to hear more about on Friday. Dude,
I can't wait. I know what I'm going to be reading all about it on the plane. I'll be on a plane back home on Saturday. So Saturday, I'm going to be on that plane, like with my knees jammed into the seat in front of me, because they do not make planes for people that are, you know, taller than 5 feet.
No, they definitely do not.
I'm going to be sitting in there. I'm going to be catching up, finding out what wild cards are coming back to Standard for the next event, for the next big Hearthstone event. They're continuing it, Jocelyn. They're doing what we were hoping they were going to do while still surprising us. We, on this show, after the mech event, we said, man, this is awesome. What a great cadence of updates for the game of Hearthstone. That's so rad. I wonder if they're going to do this in between every single expansion. And the answer looks to be yes, but not in the way you think. This isn't another buff event. They're not going to Rastakhan's Rumble and buffing cards from that expansion, which is like where my brain just went. Even though there hadn't been a pattern, my brain starts inventing patterns.
Obviously.
Duh, of course. But there is a big event coming, and it's bringing with it cards that are now strictly in Wild, bringing it back to Standard. They're bringing back some of the big, most memorable cards, and it's going to be 23 cards in total that will be returning to the Standard format. However, at this moment in time, we only know that Nazoth and Ragnaros are confirmed. Those are the only two cards, but what we're off to a good start, in my opinion. It has been, I know, you know, think back, Joss. Think back to before the Wild split to Hearthstone Esports. I know we got pretty tired there about Ragnaros RNG shots deciding some games, but I think it's been long enough.
I am really excited about Rag coming back. I think it's going to be great. I mean, we rotated Rag out, and then we had a Quest Warrior quest that gave them their hero, the Rag hero power, and then we had, you know, Bomb Warrior and Alisiana, and the order you drew your deck made a really big difference. And so, I mean, like, it's not like getting rid of Rag got rid of the RNG potential win conditions from Hearthstone. So I think it's fine to come back. And especially since we know it's going to be it's a temporary event. So these cards are going to be coming in and then leaving again. So it's not that we're getting all of these cards back. They're not going to be in the basic classic set or anything like that. So they're not going to stick around forever, which I think makes it a little bit more fun, and you know that there's an end in sight. It's much like the Standard rotation, right? Like, you can kind of power through things like Gen and Baku when you know it's going to rotate. So I think that this is a really good way to do things. Like you said, we know about Nazoth, we know about Reg. I really liked Nazoth. I liked all the old gods, actually. I know you hated Yogg, but Nazoth was a lot of fun. The decks built around him were really cool. Yashiraj, although when in combination with Barnes, sometimes felt a little bit unfair, but I feel like Nazoth was really, really fun. C'Thun was really, really fun. I know the likelihood of getting multiple old gods is probably small, considering how many interesting cards there are existing right now over in Wild. So, like, I would like to see maybe like Lotheb, I think, would be a really cool addition to this. Obviously Sylvanas, but like I say, we got Rag and they rotated to the Hall of Fame at the same time, so maybe they won't be doing her, but there's a lot of really cool stuff that they could pull from Wild potentially. And we don't even know if they're like all legendaries or if it's going to be some sort of combination of different cards. Are they all going to be neutral? Are they going to have classes? I don't know. We'll have to wait until Friday to see.
It can't all just be legendaries, right? There are some really famous cards across Hearthstone's history that are not legendaries. Before I get stuck in those particular weeds, I want to talk about how they're doing this, how they're pulling this off. Because when I heard about this, possibly before this was actually announced, my brain started going to, oh man, how are they going to do that? Are they just going to make it so that, hey, you already have it? Cool. Throw it in your standard deck. Go for it. You don't have it? Too bad. Guess you better buy some classic packs or save up some dust. I guess it wouldn't be classic packs. You don't have the chance. Anyways, doesn't matter. That's not how they're doing it.
Packs.
Yeah, not how they're doing it. We are all going to receive free temporary versions of the cards. They're going to be added to all of our collections. So whether we already have these cards or not, we're going to get a second version that is standard legal. And they haven't said alternate art here, but oh my God, Jocelyn, if there was ever a time for alternate artwork on a card in Hearthstone, now is the time.
True. I will give you that. Now would be the time. I don't see it happening, but maybe I'm just super pessimistic. I don't know, but I feel like we're probably not getting alternate art, but we will find out on Friday. I just love that everyone's going to get these cards for free and they're going to be just playable in standard. So no one has to worry about crafting anything. So I think that that's really cool of them to just allow everyone to participate in the event, regardless of what their collection looks like. And not necessarily having to go back and craft all these old cards. Like you said, like you'd either have to craft them or open them in packs. And so I like that they just went, nah, don't worry about that. Here, take these and have fun.
Yeah, Josh, I love this for like multiple levels. This works on multiple levels. One is just bring wild cards back to standard. I don't play Magic anymore, but you know, when I did, reprints, it's really common in Magic. It is super common to have cards reprinted. Which is like bringing a card that got out of the standard rotation to Magic and then making it standard legal again. At least when I was playing, usually in the form of like the first set of the year, would bring in cards from past sets that you recognize.
Well, and that was something that we were like Hearthstone had always said that they weren't going to do and that they kind of railed against. And so this, I think you're right. This seems like exactly that, temporary reprints that we're going to have access to. It is straight up this card. It's not, Nazoth with a new name. So I think this is really cool. I think that's a good comparison.
I think it is too. And then also it kind of scratches the itch of free to play or budget players, because now they're going to have access to 23 cards for free that they otherwise wouldn't have had access to. If they're in line with Nazoth and Ragnaros, these were meta cards. These were competitively viable. I'm not saying they're all going to be. We don't know. Like, who knows? Maybe they'll throw in some old piece of junk from TGT that made no impact whatsoever in hopes that it does.
I?
That is a really bad example.
Some piece of junk from TGT card, yep, that I can remember.
A piece of junk TGT card that didn't see play. Jocelyn references the most infamous card from TGT ever.
That's the one from TGT I could see them bringing back, because that would be super, super fun. And I think meta-defining in a time where there's other things that can compete. Like Secret Paladin was super, super powerful in TGT because there was nothing else that could really compete with it. But Hearthstone's growing so much. I mean, like if you go over to Wild, there's like nobody playing Secret Paladin because there's so many other options now. So I think Secret Paladin being brought back into standard right now could actually be fine.
Could really? Mysterious Challenger like was so degenerate at its time.
It was for sure. I think it could be fine now.
I can't decide if I want you to be right so that we can actually finally enjoy one of these hypotheticals, because we've had this. How many times have we gotten the email of, hey, do you think that really busted archetype from X expansion could actually hold up to today's standard meta? And
exactly.
Yeah, so
now we could actually figure that out. Like, for realsies.
Crazy. That would be absolutely nuts. Okay, I think you sold me. I think I'm leaning toward it. It just seems rough because that was such a powerful card. So I feel like they wouldn't go that way. If anything, I'm looking at, like you mentioned in Secrets, I just want Avenge back. Avenge once a year, Jocelyn. Once a year, no joke. I think to myself, I just assume Avenge is a classic basic card because that's how ubiquitous it was when it was in the Hearthstone meta. And I have to remind myself that no, it is in fact from, I don't even remember what expansion it was from. was that a Naxx card?
Oh man, now I have to look it up because I can't remember either.
It was Naxx. Okay, I found it. Yeah, it was a Naxx card.
Wow.
That's part of the reason. It was like part of the first ever addition to Hearthstone. I once a year I forget that Avenge isn't like a classic basic card. So that's what I would hope to come back. But I mean, if you're gonna bring that back, you probably
Naxx is out.
You probably bring back Mysterious. God, I think you might be on. Oh, do you think it's gonna be Mysterious Challenger? Oh, that'd be so good.
I hope so. I think that would be really, really fun. And then, I mean, what else could we have? I mean, I said Sylvanas, but I mean, not even, we could go like Sludge Belcher maybe if we're talking Naxx. Like Sludge Belcher was a really, really good, fun card. It was very defensive at the time. A lot of people were running it, but I don't know if it competes in the like current meta. I don't know, but
yeah,
it could, maybe.
I think Sludge Belcher could. Totally.
Yeah.
That was
it would be on my list. Like if I have the entirety of Naxx all the way up until, and that's the other thing. So they told us about Rag, they told us about Nazoth. We don't know how like current they're gonna go. So the most recent thing that we've been told is an Old Gods card. There were a lot of expansions that have rotated since Old Gods were out, but are we only getting like Naxx and Old Gods stuff and some of the Hall of Fame stuff? Are we gonna get things that have very, very recently rotated? I swear to God, if you do get M'Baku, I'm going to be really mad, Blizzard.
So I am there's no way they're going to do that. There's no universe. I would bet any amount of money against that.
Like all of the monies.
All of the money bet against that. Although, boy, would it be trolly to just bring back one of them? Not both, just one.
Just one.
But I'm a bad host. I forgot to put this in the show notes, but have you seen the quote unquote leak, the leak of what cards are coming back?
I have not. No.
All right. So I just quickly Googled it, and this is from Out of Cards, but I saw it all over the place, and it looks like two cards per class and five legendary neutrals is the purported leak.
That makes sense from a, whatchamacallit? Oh my gosh. That makes sense from just a numbers standpoint, right? Like that if we each get two, then did I go away again?
No, you're still here. Discord is just ass today.
Okay.
It is absolute butt.
So if we actually look at things and think, okay, so 18 cards from classes, and then, you know, like, because that's just the most classes or most class cards we could possibly get, right? Because if we got three from each class, that'd be 27. That's too many. And then backfill the rest with neutral, like that makes sense. So I think this is probably fairly accurate. I don't know if the actual cards are accurate, but it seems like at least the ratio is accurate. Also, yeah, my Discord is completely disconnecting. So
we've gone full Omnistone.
At least you can still hear my voice.
Yes. Yeah. At least you're not flickering at this moment. I don't know. Try starting and stopping your video.
Okay.
This is
my Discord is telling me I am disconnected right now. Oh, there it goes. Now it's reconnected.
Okay,
me.
So the flickering must be from your end. I don't know. It's I can't help you, Joss. I don't know. I can hear you.
I don't know. Okay, that's good.
Oh, for crying out loud. If this continues to happen, I'm gonna throw a unicorn in your frame and we'll just do the rest of the show like that.
That is totally fine. I am fine with that.
Sounds good. Rad. All right, so back to this. So Sylvanas was at the tippy top of my list. Number one card when I heard about this happening, first thing that shot into my mind was Sylvanas. I want Sylvanas back. I thought she was such a rad card. I've always liked how you had to play around her. The puzzle that Sylvanas brings to the game when she hits the board. Big fan. So if this leak is correct, I'm all for it. Emperor Thorsan, sweet. Curator seems weird to me.
I mean, of all the legendary neutrals, Curator would be pretty low down my list, but it's also, it's quite interesting because it's a Beast, Dragon, and Murloc. So I think that there's a lot more like strong Beast, Dragons, and Murlocs than there were potentially at the time when Curator is out. And we used to see Curator played even if he only drew one of those things. Like you'd see Curator in a lot of Dragon decks and a lot of Hunter decks. So I kind of think that we're probably going to see it in decks again, right? Like Hunters, Highlander Hunters will probably play him.
Okay. Well, would they? Because they're currently not running Dragons or Murlocs.
Well, they're not, but I'm saying a 4/6 taunt that draws you a beast, especially when you have things like Dire Frenzy, could potentially be something. Although I guess Dire Frenzy, they don't really play Dire Frenzy because it puts multiple copies in your deck. But yeah, I don't know. I could see Curator probably.
That'd be curious. Okay. I mean, we did play it back in the day.
Literally off the top of my head, you guys. I know I'm going to say some stupid things, but.
Yeah. And we're not going to read the whole cards here. When we get the official list, we'll do a refresh for folks out there that are maybe new to the game or aren't new to the game, but dusted everything because you only play Standard and you forget what these cards do. But since we're dealing in, you know, scuttlebutt territory, we're not going to do a full card refresher right now. We're going to have a more casual.
I like that scuttlebutt territory. Hashtag show title.
Yeah, but Curator, like of the if the five neutral legendaries that are on here, we know Ragging Nazoth are confirmed, but also Sylvanas Windrunner, Emperor Thorsan. Those all, I'm like, yes, totally makes sense. These are like absolute legends of Hearthstone's history. Curator, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess we played that card for a little bit. I completely forgot about its existence.
Yeah, and I feel like, well, I mean, I said Sylvanas when we were talking about Rag, just, and the only reason I thought that they might not do it is because they kind of Hall of Fame them at the same time. But I would love to see Sylvanas back in the game, or back in Standard. I should stop saying back in the game because she's never actually left. She just went to Wild. But
hey, listen, man, you are just referring to it with the same of respect and care that the Hearthstone team refers to Wild with.
Burn. But yeah, I really agree with Thorsan. I think Thorsan being in the game is good. His being in Standards is good. He would have been one of my picks for sure.
So many of these cards too are on my mind right now because of Tombs of Terror. Yeah, I've been picking a lot of these cards in Tombs of Terror. I have not been playing a lot of Wild myself. And even when I do, I don't think I have Thorsan in any of my Wild decks right now. So, but in Tombs,
I've definitely been picking them in Tombs. Yeah, I've been playing so much Tombs. Oh my God. We're going to talk about that a little later, but Joss, I've been playing so much.
I have a problem and it's affecting my rank.
Oh, me too. I hardly played any ranked this season. And I looked at it yesterday. I was like, oh my God, we're at the end of the September season. I am nowhere near where I normally am. And I'm going to drop again tomorrow. Whoops. Okay.
Today it's the first, Jocelyn.
I know it's for this was me yesterday thinking that. And I was like, should I grind a lot? And I was like, no, I'll just accept my rank, whatever, 15 or whatever.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's continue on a little bit of fun here and relatively quickly move through the leaks because they could end up being wrong. But how did we end up pronouncing? Was it Kun?
Kun,
the Forgotten King. I don't remember. So Kun, Astral Communion are the two leaked druid cards. So one legendary, one epic. I mean, Kun made big splashes, a lot of play.
Kun, he was often played next to Aviana before she got changed. So, I mean, I'm sure that there are ways to still play with him, and probably some cool combos that he's going to create. Maybe Astral Communion. I think Astral Communion is a really weird, really, really weird card to choose go alongside Kun, but I can see Kun seeing play. I don't know if Astral Communion, maybe there's Astral Communion decks that'll work in current Standard, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel pretty good about Kun. I don't feel so good about Astral Communion if this is one of the actual cards.
Well, for Hunter, like a weird choice. How do you feel about Call of the Wild and Lock and Load?
Less good, but I... Call of the Wild was powerful, but maybe it'll see play in Highlander lists. I don't see Lock and Load seeing play, though. Lock and Load didn't see play really in any kind of like standard powerful meta deck.
So it with I look at Lock and Load and I'm like, yeah, okay, Highlander is seeing play, so why not? It's the kind of card that can give you a lot more gas.
We do have rapid fire now too.
Yeah.
Urtai, you're right. So that is a potential combo you could go off, especially in a Highlander deck where it could give you things you don't have access to duplicates normally. So just through random RNG with Lock and Load, maybe. But I also think Hunter is super powerful right now and they maybe don't need help. But at the same time, I want to see these wild cards actually have an impact, right? So anytime some of these leaks show me cards that I don't necessarily think are going to make a big impact, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe wasted opportunity.
Possibly. Wild card. Call of the Wild makes total sense. Getting into the leaked mage cards, Flame Waker and Babbling Book. Yeah, no surprises here. Flame Waker feels like, well, you know how every now and then we have fun with the idea of redoing the classic and basic set, saying, why don't you like throw some of the trash out of there, grab some stuff from Wild that feel like backbones of the class from Hearthstone's history and make those a basic standard card. Flame Waker at the tip top of my list. That is a card I feel like should just be in the basic and classic set.
Yeah, Flame Waker and Babbling Book, both I like for choices of mage cards. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to play with. They were powerful in their day. They were inclusions in mage. Like, these ones make way more sense to me than the Hunter leaks. So cross your fingers, I guess. I think Flame Waker is really fun. It's been a while since we've played with Flame Waker. That's the other piece, right?
Yeah, quite a long time in standard. Leaked Paladin cards are Mysterious Challenger and Avenge. I did not see this.
Yes!
Oh, God. You might be exactly right, Jocelyn. Oh, man. Oh. Everybody, just get ready. If you didn't live through the Mysterious Challenger meta, just get ready for turn 6 Christmas trees against Paladin.
Yes.
Like, all the secrets. Just ting, 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 ting. You're going to listen to... You're going to go to sleep at night, and you're just going to hear... Your eyes are going to close. It's going to be pitch black, and you're just going to hear... Who am I? You're just going to wake up in a cold sweat. You're just going to launch out of bed. Like you're the
man. I'm stoked. That's awesome. I want to see Secret Paladin back in the meta again. I think it's going to be so good.
I'm kind of down. I'm down because they're probably going to come from Murlocs at some point. Right. Right.
You would think so.
Right. Leaked priest cards, Light Bomb and Vol'jin. I like this.
Yeah, I think Light Bomb's another one that we haven't seen in standard play for a long time. And it's a very, very powerful card. It makes you really think about what you're playing when you're playing against a priest, which I think is really important. So plus it helps the priest get out of a lot of really bad situations earlier in the game than a lot of their other removal stuff. So just the fact that they can, you know, clear the board with a Light Bomb, they can run it alongside their... Mass Hysteria, the one that makes all the things attack all the things. That's what this was.
All the removal. Priest looks across the table at Warrior and goes, "You want to go? You think you've got a lot of removal? Well, I just got Light Bomb back, buddy." And Garrosh just goes, "Huh." That's all he does. Vol'jin as well. I mean, both these cards are from GVG. If this turns out to be true, Vol'jin was a card that saw a lot of play. This was a card I believe I never got. Like, I just never cracked it. Well,
now you're going to get a free version, so you'll have a chance to play with it.
I wonder if I have Vol'jin now. I honestly don't know. but this is a card I really liked back in the day. And you're flickering again, so guess what? Jocelyn, you are now a unicorn for the rest of the show.
I get to be a unicorn?
Yay! Unicorn for the rest of the show. I give up on your Discord video, so you can go ahead and kill it if you want.
Okay, that's fine. All right, I'm going to. I'm actually going to kill Discord completely then.
All right, cool. Cool. You're not going to have real-time visual aids from my video, but whatever. It's fine.
That's okay.
All right. Leaked Rogue cards, Shaku the Collector, which I haven't thought about this card in a very long time.
Yeah. I don't even remember ever really seeing it played, to be honest.
this one I'm going to reread because honestly, I don't really remember Shaku. This is the 3-mana 2/3 for rogues that has stealth and reads, whenever this attacks, add a random card to your hand from your opponent's class. So very on brand, considering how much burgling has been added to the rogue class in the past year. So makes sense there.
I really like Swashburglar. I think that makes a lot of sense, to be honest. It saw so much play. And granted, Swashburglar was like alongside like patches, but still, I think Swashburglar is a great addition to Rogue.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Just makes sense. Just more burgle, more things that are on brand for Rogue. Shaman, Thing from Below, and Evolve. Yep. Evolve is right there with Avenge for me. Like, this is a card I just think is still in Shaman because it is so ingrained in my thought and in my thoughts about what Shaman is and what Shaman can do.
Yeah, for me, the only thing I wish they got was Devolve, just again because I've been having so much fun. But I like it. I like Evolve. I think it's good, and I like Thing from Below too. These are both really good inclusions.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little worried. I'm like, ooh, Mysterious Challengers on this list, and what's to stop them from like putting Totem Golem back in and other like ridiculous Shaman cards from the past? But I think Thing from Below is, I think, in the sweet spot. If this was powerful, but it didn't make us all just go, "Come on, Shaman, come on."
Yeah, and the other thing is it doesn't fit exactly. It's very similar to Mysterious Challenger. It was powerful in its day, but it doesn't actually really fit into what Shaman is currently doing, which makes me think this could be a real meta shakeup card because it is powerful. It's super powerful.
Yeah,
so I would like to see Shamans do maybe a little more like tokeny stuff. I'm cool with that as opposed to Battlecry stuff. It feels like they've been focusing on Battlecries for a while.
Yeah, it's not Tunnel Trog into Totem Golem, okay? It's not
exactly
that. So
yeah.
I'm all for it.
But
I
it
like
could
it.
Have been. Oh, can you imagine?
If they're doing two cards a class. Well, and it still could be.
I mean,
again,
it
this
still
is a leak.
Could be. Yeah, these yeah. are leaks. So it these still could be for sure.
It could be. Warlock Imp Gang Boss and Renounce Darkness, which is the replace your hero power on Warlock cards with another class's. The cards cost one less. So Renounce Darkness, meme-y as hell. So I'm just going to move straight back to Imp Gang Boss and say, please let this be true, because this card was, again, a huge workhorse of the Warlock class for a long time.
Yeah, I think this Imp Gang Boss would be a good choice. It feeds into the Warlock Zoo kind of archetype. I was going to say mentality, but archetype is a better word there. So I just feel like Imp Gang Boss is probably a really good choice. It does feed into a little bit what Warlock's doing right now, but still a very good choice. It's a solid choice. It's something that saw a lot of play. It's iconic. So I'm in.
It is. It is. And then finally, leaked warrior cards, Bloodhoof Brave and Varian Wrynn. Yes, please. I'm down for this.
Bloodhoof, definitely. Varian, I mean, Varian never really saw much play.
That's why I'm excited about it, because it was a card I was really stoked about on back in the day, and it didn't really find a home. So I'm hoping maybe it could find a home now.
Yeah, maybe now. Maybe now. I'd like to think that if these are the cards that we're going to see, if this leak is true, that then they've taken a really good look at Standard and they've had all the conversations that we usually have about, you know, what would be impactful, what would change the meta, what would give classes alternate options to what they're currently doing. I hope they've had those conversations on the Hearthstone side, and that's why they've chosen these cards, because they think that they'll see play. They think they're going to be exciting. It would suck if out of all the possible cards you had to choose from, you ended up choosing cards from a class that didn't change what they were doing or didn't impact the meta at all when you're doing a big event like this. So maybe you're right. Maybe things have slowed down a little bit, or whatever it is, whatever the case is, it's Varian will see play. Maybe it is a control-y kind of card that allows you to do big bombs and there's more space for that in the current meta. I don't know, but overall, there's a lot of iconic stuff in here. I'm super, super stoked.
Yeah.
Assuming, again, that this is what we're actually getting. Outside of, like, there's a few exceptions, like Astral Communion, Lock and Load, Vol'jin, Shaku, and I would say probably Renounce Darkness are all things that I'm kind of like, really? But they're also kind of fun stuff. So
I think Vol'jin,
they can be super meme-y.
I'll go to bat for Vol'jin, but I'm with you on everything else.
Yeah.
With you on everything else.
And the other thing is too, so we're getting more information. We'll know the actual card list on October 4th. So that's this coming Friday. I don't think that the event will actually start on Friday. I think we're going to get the details of the event and then it's going to happen, because Friday is actually the last week of Hearthstone Grandmasters. So I can't see them saying, like, we're going to put this big giant wrench into the week where we're also getting relegations, right?
Yeah, no, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. Again, I would put, like Gen and Baku, I would bet against that. Any amount of money, let's go.
Yeah, so I'm sure we're going to get details on Friday, and then the event will possibly start like the following Tuesday or something, because like I say, it is the final week of Grandmasters, and then playoffs happen at BlizzCon. So I would assume that the event would run kind of from Tuesday through to BlizzCon. Because again, I can't see them playing with the really weird wild cards in Standard during BlizzCon playoffs.
Oh, see, I'm thinking this, we're doing this all the way until the new year.
Whoa. Okay. I think even through another expansion release?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Like, to me, I would assume that an event would be a few weeks long, like the Fire Festival. That was the few weeks in the summer.
Yeah,
and I guess kind of lead up to the next expansion. And I can't imagine that it would go through playoffs. Although, if it does come out on Tuesday, it does give players a few weeks to get some decks together and get ready for a BlizzCon. And I mean, a BlizzCon featuring Mysterious Challenger, Sylvanas, Rag, like that could be super nostalgic and exciting.
It
would be cool if they did. I just assumed that they would kind of keep this away from their championships, but maybe they won't.
Well, my most surface level defense is the card, most of the card buffs in Rise of Mech were permanent and have affected this entire year of Hearthstone.
That's true.
And some of them, you know, are still seeing play, and we'll see the impact of that on display in the finals. So why not? I mean, this is part of it. Although you are right, it will probably land at a point where we won't see any Grandmasters play with these cards until the finals. But I don't know. I say sure. Why not? Let's. We've already seen a lot of play with the current card pool that there is. Let's, in the finals, why not, you know, inject?
Why not mix it up?
23 cards of interest.
Fair enough. I mean, like I say, I think it would be super cool as a viewer. That would be awesome.
Yeah, as a viewer, I want it really bad. Really, really bad. But also, you know, I'm being greedy. I'm already just happy that we're having the real finals at BlizzCon again, and I'm going, and I'll actually care about the Hearthstone esports that are happening. And that's already good enough for me, but this would be the cherry on top for me.
Loramon has a really interesting question from the chat room. Will these cards be in the pool for Discover and Evolutions?
I would assume yes.
I would also assume yes, because it pulls from everything that's legal in the format, right? Yes. So I would assume yes. But at the same time, I guess it depends how they actually implement it in the game. If they make them into their own collection. So like the whatever Halloween collection or something, or people put on costume, whatever, however they're theming this event. If they're all part of that air quotes collection, and that collection is Standard legal, then absolutely that would mean that they would be in those pools. So I think yes. My guess would be yes, that these cards would be included in Discovers, I would think. Because they're gonna be Standard legal.
Because they're making copies, and if you already have these cards, you're gonna see an extra copy when you look in your wild collection. That makes me just go, yeah, it's going to be discoverable. It's going to come off of an evolve, so on and so forth, just because they're essentially adding a second copy of the card to the game that is flagged as Standard legal. But right, again, right. I don't have confirmation. So this is just, that's where
we'll find out more on Friday.
Yeah. I'm explaining why I feel so strongly. But yeah, this is all awesome. That's not even the end of what was announced in the same post. There were a lot of things that were announced. There was also 1,000 win portraits confirmed and coming, and we got a preview of 3 of them. They are more badass versions of the heroes we started Hearthstone with. So we're going to finally get King Anduin. If you're a priest and you hit 1,000 wins on your priest, you get King Anduin instead of purple boy Anduin.
Prince Anduin would be another way you could refer to him, but sure. I think Anduin and Jaina look badass. I mean, Gul'dan, to me, doesn't look all that much different. Maybe I just didn't look at him closely enough, but Jaina and Anduin, I looked at and I was like, whoa, those look awesome. I want them.
This looks more like
my priest. I am way far away. I haven't even gotten my golden portrait on my priest yet. So
this looks more like,
but yeah, that Draenor is Gul'dan.
Like end of Draenor Gul'dan, because he's got the brown robe, because he has like the classic warlock purple robe for his base portrait.
He does, yeah. And I mean, I do like the hand holding the fell. That's kind of I guess it's because it's kind of like so central to the portrait. I don't know. I think Jaina looks amazing. Like, I want to cosplay as this. I've never seen like Fire Mage Jaina. She's always in blue, right? So
she is always in blue.
Just this is such a departure that I think her portrait is the greatest of all three of them, because it's so different.
It is incredible. All I need to know is, what does a paladin portrait look like? Because it's the only one I'm probably going to have for anytime soon. I need to see the paladin. Well,
and it's also really cool that the portraits are going to be, I guess, like retroactive. It's not like you have to get 1,000 wins after they're introduced. So you can literally be working towards this right now, which we're going to talk about Hunter a little bit in our strategy section today. But I've been avoiding playing Hunter since I got my Golden Hunter hero, because I've been wanting to work on the other classes and get them all their wins. So, I mean, even air quotes, not playing Hunter, I think I'm closing in on 700 wins on the Hunter. So it's my favorite class. I want to see what Rexxar looks like. But it's cool that like all of those 700, like I'm basically 300 wins away from earning my first class portrait, which is cool.
Rexxar should be riding Huffer. Or the portrait should just be Huffer.
So small. Just Huffer.
Should just be Huffer. Okay. Like Rexxar isn't even in the picture. It's just Huffer.
Yeah, just Huffer. Yeah. But they are awesome portraits, and they'll be obviously golden too, because you've got your golden hero powers. So they'll be all animated and cool looking.
They're so freaking good. They're so freaking good. The golden portraits were never a big motivator for me. These are a big motivator. These are so cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then we're also getting we'll be getting some quality of life updates soon. We're getting alternate search terms, like typing in snip as actually spelt as opposed to leet speak snip will yield snip snap in the search field. Thank God. Can't tell you how many times I've messed this one up. and quests are changing.
I wonder what the Undertaker brings up. Like if I type in the Undertaker,
I don't know what you're referencing. The Undertaker.
I'm not gonna say it.
Undertaker is a wild card, Jocelyn.
No, I know, but there's a standard legal card that is similar, and I'm curious to know that if you type
what is the name of the standard legal card, Jocelyn?
It's the Undertaker. It's just spelt a little bit.
No, that is a wild card, Jocelyn. There's no the. It's just Undertaker. I don't know what card you're talking about.
I'm not gonna say it.
Quests are changing as well. This is the quests that give you gold, like not daily quests, not like card quests. they're changing re-rolling, so like if you re-roll what the game considers a slightly more difficult quest, which are the 60 gold quests, it is always now going to give you what the game considers an easy quest, which is a 50 gold quest. And they're also cutting some of the less popular daily quests, although they didn't tell us what those were.
I'm sure they will tell us when the time comes, because they've always been quite open about what quests are available. So I think we'll get more information about this, because they also said that these quest changes are not coming in the next major update. So this is more down the road. They're going to be making changes to this. So we've still got a ways to go before we get these changes, but they are coming soon, TM, like actual TM this time. So
actually,
I'm sure
soon for some of these, right? Or no, yeah, the quest one was one that, yeah, that's
the quest,
coming.
The quest changes specifically are not coming in the next major update. So we have a while to wait for them yet. And so I think when those changes actually come in, we'll be given more information at that time. So this is just a FYI. So, you know, in a while, we're going to do this.
Yes. Yes. And while we're on the subject of future changes, let's talk about a possible future change in the game of Hearthstone, because Ixar was going back and forth with Soddle on Twitter this week, because Soddle was going on a bit of a cheeky rant about, you know, Priest being fine after posting his personal win rate of 20-0 with Combo Priest on HS Replay. And Ixar got in there and said, quote, we have some plans to remove Divine Spirit, but it comes with some other sweeping changes. If we end up doing that, a big maybe, it will probably be around set rotation timeline, because we don't feel like it's as much an issue for current Hearthstone as it is for future Hearthstone. I really like that distinction, because it's something you and I infer a lot. We bring this up pretty often, which is, you know, do you change something now because it's just a problem for now, or do you change something forever because it limits design
space? It's messing with your design space. So yeah. I liked this distinction as well. I think Divine Spirit is something that probably should be removed, just because if you even look at like Lady in White, who essentially was a legendary card that said cast Divine Spirit on your entire deck, and she never saw play because, you know, it was so much better to have access to this spell that could create these OTKs, that like, why would you bother doing it to your whole deck when really that was just situationally better? So I think that we already have evidence that Divine Spirit has made it so that some cards don't see play that do similar things. And I think it's probably also prevented a lot of cards from being printed. So I am totally on board with this. I think, you know, Inner Fire, Divine Spirit, all that kind of stuff has been, oh shit, shoot. I was totally thinking Inner Fire, not Divine Spirit. Divine Spirit's just the health buff. But yeah, I think Inner Fire is a bigger problem.
it's not as big of a problem without Divine Spirit.
Well, I guess. But that combo has just been around for freaking ever, and it's kind of the go-to build all of the time. It's been the only viable Priest archetype in a lot of different metas, because it's if you can stick a big sticky minion, then you can get that OTK in. So, I mean, we've seen some tempo variants of things like Spiteful Summoner Priest and Dragon Priest that have been successful, but then, you know, you get a rotation or a new expansion or something that makes one of those decks not as viable. And then all of a sudden you're back to, I guess, Cloning Gallery Priest would be another one. And all of a sudden you're back to the drawing board with Priest, and that drawing board is always that Divine Spirit inner combo combination. So I just,
I am back to the drawing board.
Inner Fire.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that Inner Fire would probably be the thing that I would put on the chopping block. But I mean, Divine Spirit's also a pain in the butt, right? And you just get this gigantic minion you can never get through. I would probably just chop them both.
I'm back to the drawing board of wanting Classic and Basic set to die. Go away. Get rid of it.
Yeah, that too.
We're stripping it so bare at this point. Why are we still doing this song and dance? Although this isn't confirmed. What are we doing here? We're having a conversation about a problematic Classic and Basic card, and the reason that it's being brought up by Hearthstone developers is because it keeps being the rock, but from that being the well that a class goes back to. And we keep having this discussion over and over again about multiple classes and multiple Classic and Basic cards. So
100%. And I mean, I would be okay with just rotating Classic Basic forever and then doing card reprints, like actual straight up reprints. Like in the first set of every year, maybe you print Fireball and Pyroblast and our sets end up being, you know, 200 cards instead of 100 cards, but you can kind of make those decisions of what Classic Basic cards that you want in that standard year. I would be totally fine with that. If we could just take, you know, 60-7 card reviews and say all of these cards are reprints, moving on to the new stuff, I think that would be fine. Like just have one big expansion at the beginning of the year that included some reprints, and that would be good. I'd be fine with that.
I would too. Tell me about China hosting another Gold Online tournament.
Right. So this is actually going on right now. So September 27th to October 3rd. And basically, the big news here isn't just that China's hosting an online tournament. It's that the first tournament was so successful, they had 5K players. They upped it to 50K. That is such a big tournament.
Wait, 50,000 players?
50,000 players. They had 5,000 players and it was so successful that they opened up the second one for 50,000 players. Now, the champions don't win money, but they win BattleNet points. I'm not 100% sure what BattleNet points actually equate to in terms of real money, but people are excited, so that sounds like a lot. But they also get a spot in an open tournament, and all of this stuff all feeds into essentially the China's entry into our final annual playoffs. So China doesn't have a grandmaster system; they have all of these systems. So this all feeds into what will be at BlizzCon. But the other big piece of this, not just is the fact that there's 50,000 people that are going to be playing this tournament, but This is Hearthstone China. This is Blizzard, and they have tournament mode, Garrett. And I hate to harp on tournament mode, but this is like, it's a plugin for the client that lets you do all of your tournament stuff in the client, and it looks really slick.
So we ran a tournament over the weekend on Battlefy, and it struggled to even make bands work correctly.
Yep. So all of everyone
listening,
reported your, yeah.
I would like everyone listening to get up, go to your kitchen. If you're at work, go to the work kitchen, find the salt shaker, take the top off, open your mouth, dump that salt across your tongue. Have you done that? That's how I feel right now. That's how I feel.
And if you actually like, because the tournament page on hs.blizzard.cn, so the Chinese Blizzard page, shows like instructions on where to get the plugin and everything else, and it has screenshots like step by step how to use. It's pretty straightforward, guys. You literally just add 3 decks to the tournament tracker based on your collection. It allows you to do all of your bans. It records your results.
Like, yeah. And so this is a news.
There's a leaderboard.
Yeah. This isn't news, by the way. Back in 2016, news broke that China was getting a plug-in for Hearthstone that essentially had a tournament mode. Now, recently it came up again. I think either there's a brand new one on the scene or it received a major update. I can't remember. But China has had a tournament plug-in for years now. And I don't know why we can't be trusted with it. Like, why can't we have this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I think what makes this different, I think, is now that this is a plugin in the client. And so it actually like talks to the client and stuff. I think that what China had before wasn't this, I guess, advanced. I'm not 100% sure, but this is full on in the client. Like, you don't have to do anything. All the bans and results are in there. Like, this thing looks super easy to use and very slick. So I hope that since this is, and the other thing is too, like, this is official, like, this is an official Blizzard China event. So I'm hoping that this is something that they're thinking of just integrating into all clients. Hopefully, I don't know, but it seems really cool. And even if they just give us this, because I know one of the things when Hearthstone, I guess North America, was talking about implementing a tournament mode, we asked if they would have bans and they were like, no, why would we do bans? And so I'm hoping that they're kind of looking at this and saying like, OK, this is going to work for a tournament of 50,000 people. If this goes well, like maybe this will be bringing this over into the English client will be something that we see announced at BlizzCon. That's my prediction, is that, you know, this is the final test in the China Gold series. And we're going to see it announced for our clients at BlizzCon. Oh, I hope.
Man, Josh, that is a bold prediction.
It is. Yeah,
we've done it. We've gone full circle, everyone. Jocelyn no longer remembers the disappointment and she has dared to hope again.
I have. I dare to hope. We've done it.
Well, I won't rant on your parade. I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. Well, that's sweet. We've got links to all of this in the show notes if you want to actually see what the tournament mode looks like. It looks slick. I mean, I can't even read what it is. It's on a Chinese website. I can't read any of this, but there are screenshots of it in action. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really, really easy to use, even like not being able to, like not knowing the language, but just, you know, seeing the pieces that are in the screenshots. I'm like, oh, that's where you do this. That's your match timer. That's, you know, all your results. That's your classes. That says bans. Like I can figure that out just by looking at it, which means it's an intuitive interface if I can figure out how to use it from a screenshot in Chinese. So just Blizz, just do it. Talk to China and just do it.
just make our faces melt off. Like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like it's BlizzCon's like, yo, here's the next expansion. You liked that event? Here's the next event with all this other crazy shit you didn't see coming. And you know what? One more thing. Lights go down. Tournament mode's coming. Hold the mic out, drop it on the floor. It just goes through the floor, continues bisecting the earth. The earth cracks and we all just explode with joy. That's how that would feel.
Can you imagine if they're like, tournament mode available in game this now. Tuesday? Bam.
Or no, it's on your phone now.
Or now, yeah.
You all have phones. Don't you guys don't have phones?
Yeah, that's why they asked us last year if we had phones, because they wanted to make sure.
It wasn't rhetorical. They were legitimately concerned. Oh, my God, Jocelyn. Oh, that would be so amazing. Where's Finley?
We just predict all of BlizzCon.
That's how I would feel. This Finley is how I would feel. So good. So good. Well, that's wonderful. You know what else makes me feel like that, Jocelyn?
What makes you feel like that, Garrett?
A clean shave. A nicely, cleanly shaven neck beard. You got to get rid of it. You got to keep it in check. We're going to BlizzCon soon. I know you don't have to deal with this problem, but I do. I do. People are meeting me in the first, you know, I gotta like, you know, see people who only listen to my voice or see me for the first time. I want to like look at all the fur just coming out of my neck, you know, cover my Adam's apple and just being like, what is going on with Garrett? That dude needs to manscape.
I feel like you're forgetting that BlizzCon is in California, and California is very hot for someone who's from Canada. So, I mean, I've got to use my Harry's razors too, because I'm in shorts and skirts the whole time. So
it is summer all the time. It is.
Can't be brushing up against all those people at BlizzCon with pokey legs.
Yeah. So we're thankful for our sponsor today, Harry's Razors. They're back sponsoring this episode of The Angry Chicken. You, yes, you listener, you can join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. You can claim your special trial offer by going to harrys.com/TAC right now. Jocelyn, you and I have been Harry converts for literally years now. That's how long it's been since they've been supporting the program and giving away trials to people. So you should definitely go check them out. But I'm a big fan. As I mentioned many times over, they've converted me from the electric razor. You know, it's what I used to use for the longest time. And then they're like, hey, here you go. You know, we're sponsoring you. Try this out. I'm like, okay. And I lather up. I'm like, well, this smells really good. And then I start shaving with their razor. And I'm like, oh, this actually feels really nice. It's not pulling. I'm not bleeding. But I'm like, at the end of this, I might be irritated. And, you know, I wipe off, I splash off. I'm not irritated. It's great. I smell good. I get a super clean shave. They've also, like, I've been using it so long. I remember a time when they didn't have a trimmer blade. They've got a trimmer blade now. You know, you just turn the razor around. You know, if you're getting like hard to reach places, you're just trying to tidy something up. You know, when I've got the little, the stubble, the 5 o'clock shadow, like I've got right now, I can really get a nice clean line. I'm a big fan, Joss.
Harry Conver- you look super fancy.
Oh, thanks.
I can definitely tell when you've used the trimmer blade. I'm like, ooh, look at those lines. Garrett's cut, but not so in good. The, you know, painful way, in the very, you know, nice way.
As opposed to when I was using an electric razor, you're like, oh, Garrett's cut, and I'm concerned. You need a Band-Aid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So go check them out. Redeem your Harry's trial set over at harrys.com/TAC. You're going to get yourself their weighted ergonomic handle for firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip, and that trimmer blade I go on and on about. Their rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, which I really need right now. It's actually, it's not cool here yet, but it's drying out. Our rainy season is over. The hydration, I'm really thankful for it. And I can tell because I don't shave my nose, and my nose has been drying out like crazy. But my face, wonderful. Doing just fine. You also get a travel blade, so you can pop it in your luggage, take it with you to BlizzCon, keep yourself nice and groomed over the hot, sweaty, nerdy, blizzard-covered weekend. It's going to be wonderful. Go to harrys.com/TAC and start shaving better today. We thank them for the support. And now, Joss, we've gone a pretty long time without doing too deep of a dive into Tombs of Terror again, because we've had a full week with Chapter 3, and the final chapter, Chapter 4, came out today. We can finally play as Bran, Joss.
Yeah, and I did try as Bran in Wing 4, and I like it. It's really cool. It's got the chapter twist is, it's kind of like an enrage mechanic where every time your minions take a point of damage, they gain a point of attack. And then they end up keeping it, because when I went up against the in the deck that I made it all the way to the Plague Lord, I actually had the heal 2 health to all friendly characters at the end of your turn. And so my minions would no longer be damaged, but they kept the attack buff. So it was a really, really powerful effect to have on that run. And it's, I guess, I one shot the second and third Plague Lords, but this guy was hard.
I did not make it to this guy. I only did one run today, and got the seventh boss. I don't think
remember. He's the Plague Lord of Wrath, I think. And so he has a power that, oh no, wait, that was the boss before. Oh shoot. What was his first power? His second power is just straight up like execute. It's destroy a damaged minion, which gotcha. Is just insane.
Yeah, it's a little problematic for sure. Yeah.
But I had one boss right before I got to the Plague Lord that had a hero power that was deal one damage to a minion. It bounces to its neighbor until one dies. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, now I remember. I got the boss that its power is destroy a minion with two or less health and the adjacent minions. Yeah. Like I got to that. So and this is, I'm a little salty about Tombs of Terror this week. I had a lot of really bad beats over the past week in chapter 3, and also just going back to heroic. And then I had one in normal mode in chapter 4 right before the show. Multiple times this past week in the other chapters, and specifically heroic mode, but also today in chapter 4, I have gone for a deck building strategy and then been hard countered by a random boss. And it just feels bad. Like it felt like there was like multiple times. It just felt like there was nothing I could do. Like I had no chance in hell. And that happened just this afternoon, which kind of reinforced that feeling. Cause I was just getting all these loot buckets, these treasure buckets offered with like really good, like going wide board mechanics. And then I get to that guy who's like, two or less health? Cool. Three things are dead now. Congratulations. You built your entire deck around low health minions and going wide. And so I was just, I got to this boss and I'm like, I just lose. I have no way of winning this.
Yeah.
And it just felt bad.
That's kind of my overall problem, I guess, with Dungeon Run, and they fixed it a little bit with Bob, because you can kind of use your tavern visits to shore up any weaknesses of your deck, but still, like, Bob doesn't totally change your deck, and the minions that you have to work with are randomly drawn from your deck at the same time too, right? So exactly. I mean, as much as he helps, you can't target what you want to fix, basically.
I hope for the next one that if we do this again, can we just have Bob for our whole deck? Like, why can't we just get his cards and then look at our entire deck list?
Yeah, that would be great. I think it's probably an interface thing, but I mean, I don't know why Bob has to be an encounter on the game board and why he couldn't be a thing that pops up in the same spot as where your bucket selection is, right? Like, so you select your buckets and then Bob pops up and says, hey, here's your options. What do you want to do to your deck?
Yeah, I don't know. Catchtar says phony wise. We can currently scroll
maybe on the phone. Phones.
We can make I can make a Highlander list on a phone, and then I can scroll through it. Mm. So, I mean, is it the best thing in the world? No, I basically never play on my phone because I hate it, but it still works.
Yeah.
It's weird. I think in the past week, I'm starting to get a little burnout. On single player. I am not at all. I played a lot of it this past week, Chaz.
I played a lot on the weekend because we were traveling for family things. So we spent a lot of time in the car. So I think I probably played like close to 12 hours of the single player.
You bring up a good point too. I'm going to be on a plane this week too. So I'm probably not done, even though I'm starting to see the cracks. But there's still so much I like. Like, I still love the starter treasures and unlocking all of those, and it's great. And really, like, my only feel bad has just been through random matchups with bosses that just hard counter a strategy I was having a lot of fun following. Like, I'm, you know, you see the treasures come up, and I'm just happy with it.
And that's probably my biggest pet peeve is not so much that you get countered directly by a boss, is that if you start to build something very specific and you like the way that it's working, and then you run into a boss that you can't defeat, it's like you literally can't really duplicate that again because of all of the random mechanics that go into it. So, I mean, I had a really cool like deck that had some augmented Elix in it. And then I had a treasure that had, once you play a minion, shuffle one mana copies of it into your deck. And that was a really cool combo I had going on. And there were a couple of other pieces to it that made it feel like a really strong deck. But then you're right, I came up against a boss that I just couldn't defeat with that strategy. And then I was like, well, I was having a lot of fun playing that style of a deck. And now it's unlikely that I'll be able to get that combination again. So I understand the feeling you're having with single player, because those moments I think feel really bad when you're having fun with the deck that you've built.
Yeah, it feels like I'm being punished for having a good time. I had that feeling multiple times this week. And this isn't me like totally dumping on this. I still think it's really good. And this whole year for single player has been one of the crowning achievements of what I keep saying this. I think 2019 is the best year in Hearthstone we have ever had. Like, I'm so stoked on it. I know you're doing the Con Before the Storm Hearthstone panel this year, right? Or was that not supposed to announce that yet? Are we allowed to not do
all? No, it's fine. I am hosting. Yeah, I'm hosting Con Before the Storm.
I'm on like, I think it's like General Blizzard / Warcraft. Like, before that, this is the first year I'm not doing the Hearthstone one. But like every year on that panel.
Yeah,
like,
so they bumped you to the general one. They bumped me from Warcraft to Hearthstone.
Bumped seems bad. It's like they moved us up. Yeah. They're moving us around. Yes. They're moving us around. It's almost like there's not a Heroes panel, and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I think that's definitely what happened.
That's 100%. I think what happened. But on that panel, like we always kind of talk about this year in Hearthstone. You know, it's the night before BlizzCon. What's on your mind? It's also a good time to kind of look back on Hearthstone, and it always comes up like, how do you think this year is? And last year, like, I was pretty down on Hearthstone last year. I think they had a really rough year. I think they didn't grow. They canceled tournament mode. Like, the biggest exciting, like most different thing that they announced last year, they just killed. So it was weird. And it was kind of weird being on that panel and kind of talking about it. Cause I'm like, well, it's night for BlizzCon. I'm feeling great. But like, if you're going to ask me my thoughts about how I think Hearthstone did this year, I didn't think they did a great job, but here we are now. Yeah. You know, we're 4 weeks away from BlizzCon, Joss. I think they've killed it. I think they've done an absolute killer job. So when I talk about this, these are pretty minor critiques. I'm talking about like my feelings and game design and places where I think they could improve. And I still think like it's a balancing act with single player, because the boss randomness, it's part of the fun in a certain way because you don't know what you're going up against, but it's also one of, I still think, the strongest culprits of removing fun from this mode. Is because, but the other thing is too, and I can't quite put my finger on it, maybe I just got lucky. Maybe I just got lucky in Dollar Run Heist, but I never had this feeling in Dollar Run Heist. I didn't feel like at any point the bosses were designed in such a way that it was like really hard countering my deck building strategy. And yet I've had that feeling a lot with Tombs of Terror. So,
it kind of goes back to my criticism of their design in general, or something I wish that they would implement with this single player if they're going to continue down the dungeon run route, is that I would really like to see them let us know what your 8 bosses are going to be, because then you can kind of say, okay, I can make a strategy for the entire run. And if that means that you have to make the boss hero powers or whatever that much more powerful to kind of combat the fact that you know ahead of time and you can attempt to build around it, fine, make the bosses more powerful. Big, crazy, powerful things happening in single player is what makes the mode so fun. So if you have to make the bosses more powerful to balance out the fact that we can see them at the start of the run, fine. But I just wish that they would let us know what we're going to go up against, because you're right, the whole mode feels so fun, but it feels so bad when you get hard countered by a boss. So if you either knew that was coming or like knew it was coming and were able to build around it, then I think that would just get rid of those really feel bad moments.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Or again, send me to Bob and let me look at my whole deck list. I think that would be that would do a lot to help that as well. It's kind of shoring up your deck, but yeah, it's just interesting. I don't know. Maybe, just something I want to talk about. Like I said, this is just very much like a feeling thing. So,
For sure. Yeah. But
overall, still really enjoying it. Still having the itch to get through heroic. And that's kind of like this strange upside, I guess, to the way this is.
You've never liked heroic. Like, you've never made serious inroads into heroic in single player Hearthstone content, right?
I did in Dollar Run Heist. I still haven't completed it, but like, I got the first two done really quick. It was just by the time we got to the end of it, other things were happening. It wasn't that long after that. I mean, look at what's happening right now. They just announced the wild event for Standard. And I'm like, I'm going to fall off of this as soon as that happens. I know I'm going to be sucked back into the Standard ladder really hard, because I'm stoked about this event. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that's okay. That's on me.
Yeah.
I would rather not do something in Hearthstone because I think there's something else cooler to do, rather than max it out because I feel there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, it does feel like that's exactly what they're going for, is that, you know, between these events and the single player being delayed a little bit from the expansion release. And so you've kind of got expansion release, then you've got, you know, arena changes, then you've got the single player, then you've got an event. They very much are trying to keep us engaged with Hearthstone in a way that we haven't been previously. I mean, I remember a time where we would just sit there, we'd get an expansion release, we'd be super stoked for a month, and then we'd be waiting for another 3-ish months before something new would happen.
We'd basically sit on Reddit and yell about nerfs that were never going to come.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what we would do. Exactly. So it's very much different now, and they're trying to every month to 6 weeks do something that changes the game and gives you a reason to come back in and play, because it's a different experience without the different experience having to be a full-on expansion release.
Yeah. Overall, very good. I dig it. While we're on the subject of BlizzCon a little bit there, Joss, the virtual ticket was like announced and pricing was announced today, which isn't usually that big of a deal, but we did get our teases of our digital in-game goodies for BlizzCon. And for Hearthstone, at least, we're going to get a golden legendary. That legendary will not be revealed until BlizzCon. We're also going to get a card back. And do you see what's on that card back there, Jocelyn? Do you see what's happening?
Those look like dragon wings.
They sure do look like dragon wings to me, Jocelyn, or gargoyle wings.
About freaking time.
It is about freaking time. Someone call Brian Kibler. Let him know the dragon wings have been found.
We're in the middle of the year of the dragon, and dragons have been suspiciously absent. So if the next expansion isn't called Dragons Everywhere, I'm going to be really upset.
Dragons all over your face, the expansion.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dragon to the face.
I need it.
And then also Warcraft Adjacent Have you seen the Overwatch skins, the Illidan Genji and the freaking Tyrande Symmetra?
Yeah, which I think are really cool. I like that they're kind of crossing the streams a little bit. I don't play Overwatch, but I can appreciate good character design, and these guys look awesome.
I wasn't playing Overwatch.
They even chose the right brother.
You're damn right they did. Look, even the Overwatch team knows that Malfurion is trash. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I tweeted that and someone tweeted back. They're like, well, that just means Hanzo needs to be Malfurion. And I'm like, well, Hanzo is also trash. So that tracks. Let's do it.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. I haven't been playing Overwatch, but I'm totally going to get in. I want to see these things in motion. They look so good. Also, can we just talk about Illidan for a second? Because Illidan is clearly using a Harry's razor, because that face is super smooth.
Immaculate. So yeah. Is that stomach. I mean, it is shining. It is so smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. I liken this to like an anime body pillow. Illidan looks like he's printed on a body pillow and you're supposed to snuggle with it. It just has that look to it.
New show title, Illidan Snuggles. Nothing to do with Hearthstone.
I'm just stating facts, okay? I'm just stating facts. And then finally, this happened right before the show. A friend of the show, Amy, who now works over on the web team for Hearthstone, I saw her tweet out. I'm sure the official account probably tweeted out too, but I saw it from Amy's. She tweeted out that our team just launched a new fun feature on the web. Come check out the Hearthstone deck builder, share decks and get codes to import into the client. And this is a fully functional deck builder, Hearthstone deck builder, officially from Blizzard on the Play Hearthstone website. And you can do wild decks, standard decks. You've got all the filtering capabilities that the actual collection in the game has. What is more?
This is another tab of the what we've been using with the expansion launches, which is the card library. So this web team is just knocking it out of the park. This looks so cool.
It's really good.
I can't believe
good.
This is the website and not like the Hearthstone client.
Yes, it is. It is fantastic. So I have mage selected just for the sake of kind of showing this off. But
I clicked the same one.
But yeah, you can add cards to it. And I mean, pretty great. There's only 9 classes. But
so I guess one in 9, I guess.
What's more interesting is this is going to work basically in tandem with card reveals. I was tweeting at Amy like, oh, hey, because like it hit me. I'm like, are you going to add cards before we can actually like have them in game? And she replied saying you will be able to build on the web with revealed cards. You just won't be able to use that deck code in the game until those cards are live in the game. And then I got even further clarification that for reveal season, the revealed cards should be available in the library the same day they are revealed. So they're not going to wait until all the cards are revealed. We should get like as one card is revealed, you should see it show up on this online deck builder shortly after.
Right. So that's the way the library itself had worked, but it's interesting that it's going to pull from that. So, I mean, the thing that I'm super excited about.
I didn't know that the library worked that way. So that I want, this might be working from that library tech then in some fashion.
Oh, I assume it would be. So yeah, the library usually updated about as quickly as fan sites did. It was pretty fast. And the way that the library had worked, or the way that this deck builder seems to be working, is that you'll be able to get a deck code from revealed cards, which means that on the day, you can just copy that deck code, like on release day, copy that deck code into Hearthstone, and then it's going to tell you what cards that you're missing. So it's going to allow you to fill in the gaps in your collection very, very easily. I'm so stoked. Like, this looks so cool.
Yeah, it's very, very neat. I also inquired about the upcoming Wild event. I'm like, oh, I don't see Ragnaros and Azoth in here. And I was told that they're going to update the library as soon as those cards flip over to standard. Since you can currently craft a deck using the cards, it just has to be in Wild mode. So because of the fact that this generates deck codes and everything, that if you have standard filter selected in this browser deck builder, at least at the moment, you're not going to see those wild cards, but as soon as they're available in game, they'll also be on here. And that's
very cool.
That's just so cool. What a good, like, what an awesome thing for the web team to work on. This is like one of those things, much like I feel has been the story of Hearthstone this year, is these new things coming out that a lot of us weren't really thinking of. Like maybe if you go back through the 333 other episodes of The Angry Chicken, maybe we got an email at some point where someone was suggested, hey, why don't they have a deck builder online so it'd be easier for us to theorycraft and share deck codes. But it's definitely not something that's been in like the forefront of my mind as something I'd like to see added to Hearthstone. And yet here it is, and it feels so right. And the fact that it's going to actually, you know, synergize with card reveals as well as it sounds like it's going to, that is just rad.
Yeah, you can even import deck codes. So like, Garrett, I could send you a deck that I'm theory crafting. You can paste the deck code, import it before the expansion goes live and say, no, Joss, this is dumb. This needs to be changed. What are you even thinking here? And then you can send me a deck code back again and we can see everything with all the revealed cards. Oh, man, this is so cool.
This is going to be really good for our launch day streams when we're trying to theory, like build decks together. We can build them in here instead of in the collection manager.
I like it. Also I like it a lot.
Give us an idea of what some, it also may end up with me having less dust because I may get in here and theory craft it on launch day and go, oh man, there's like two epics that I think would be dope in this, but I didn't crack them. Well, you know what? Let's just craft them.
Yeah, that's the end game. They just want packs.
That's how they get you, Joss. That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Oh, man. Well, we have one more sponsor to thank today before we get into strategy and talk about Highlander Hunter, and that is Honey, a free browser extension that saves you money everywhere you shop online. You can get it for free by going to joinhoney.com/TAC. Joss, have you ever like bought something online and then you found out later you could have gotten it for less money? That is like straight up, and you should sympathize with this. I think that is worse than top decking Questing Explorer after you complete your quest.
You know, you could just never put them in your deck, Garrett, and then you
I know, like no, you put the upside is too strong. Too strong. I disagree with you. We're gonna like go to our graves fighting about Questing Explorer.
Yeah.
We're gonna be doing an episode of Angry Chicken from a retirement home, saving money, shopping online with Honey, continuing to argue about Questing Explorer in Wild. It's going to be like 3 billion cards in Wild. But yeah, I use Honey. It's, you know, it saves me money. It saves me time. I don't have to go around and you know, I know what you do, Joss. You go to Google, you're about to buy some pants or something. And you're like, okay, I'm on this website. Let me go to Google and just type in this website plus coupon. And then you sit there for 15 minutes and you find code after code that doesn't work. Honey does all that crap for you. It's done. It's over. You're finished. You're ready to go. It's fantastic. I don't like Googling.
It saves so much time. Yeah. And I mean, half the time, the sites that you're going on when you're doing that, you're just like, should I be here? This feels like it might be trying to steal my information.
Yes. So let Honey brave the internet for you looking for coupon codes. And it knows every coupon code, sailor discount at over 20,000 sites, places like Amazon, Macy's, Domino's, which is an important one for me, Joss. Also Target, big Target fan. And you just shop shopping.
The thing that's so important for me is that it works in Canada. Like there are Canadian retailers that it actually finds me codes for. Because most of the time when we do stuff like this, it's like, oh, US only, US only. But this works literally everywhere, even Canada.
Can it get me a discount on a cup of Timmy's?
No, Timmy's is already the perfect price.
Jocelyn, I made the mistake of having Tim Hortons when I was at your wedding. It is good coffee.
It's so good.
It is really good coffee for a quickie stop. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, for a quickie.
I finished it. A quickie mart. Quickie mart was what I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, it's really good coffee, you know, when you're looking for a quickie, which refers to coffee and nothing else. So it's great. Just shop like normal. Honey is going to find you savings. And believe me, it feels like magic. It feels like top decking a Questing Explorer on turn two. That's what it feels like. It's so good. So good. You don't even start with it in your hand. Turn two comes and off the top comes Questing Explorer. And you think to yourself, I am sure glad I listened to Garrett and put that in my deck. It's fantastic. So I'm currently doing one of my favorite things ever, which is shoe shopping. I don't know if you know this about me, Jocelyn, but I have way too many shoes.
I do know this about you.
Gotcha. I have like every color of Chuck Taylor you can buy, even the flame ones, and lots of dress shoes. I haven't picked any out. I need a new pair of casual dress shoes, ones that have like sneaker bottom, but I still need like the Oxford look.
I need obviously.
A look, I need to look professional, but I need to be able to move around because I find myself doing more and more video work. But I haven't picked any out yet, but there is a pair of Steve Maddens on clearance. They're already on clearance, and Honey could save me another $9 on them. So I don't know. What am I waiting for, Jocelyn? I should just buy these shoes.
I know. And that's the thing, too. I bought a whole bunch of stuff from a Canadian retailer, a whole bunch of clothes, because we just had family portraits taken over this past weekend. And so I went shopping for a whole bunch of clothes, and a lot of stuff was on clearance. And Honey got me a deal on top of a clearance price, which is crazy. So save all the money that you can.
Indeed. There's basically no reason not to use Honey. It's free to use and installs on your computer in just two clicks. Get Honey for free right now when you go to joinhoney.com/TAC. And then they'll know that we sent you. And they're like, thanks, Anchor Chicken. We'll keep sponsoring you. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Honey. And now let's talk about Highlander Hunter.
Hit it very hard.
Wanna post something up? Time to pay.
So we were talking about getting away from the off-meta decks this week, and we were like, hey, what have we not covered yet? And Highlander Hunter came up, and I was like, no, we had to have covered that yet. We haven't done a deep dive on Highlander Hunter yet, Joss, and I felt like it was really popular at the beginning of Oldham. You know, it's been popular the whole time, but then I feel like it kind of took a dive in the public consciousness, and now it seems like it's really popular again. It's making big waves in Grandmasters. It felt like a good time to really kind of chew on this deck.
Not to mention, I have a golden Octosari, so I really thought that we should cover this.
Oh, I see now. Now I see why you really wanted to cover Zalae's list, because I'm
exactly.
I'm not an interesting person. I went to HS Replay. I was like, what's top of the meta? Hunter. All right, what has the most games played? This deck list. And you know what? It doesn't run Octosari.
Yeah, which is a mistake.
Yeah, but Zalae does.
The Zalae list is much more aggressive, and then so you kind of top out at Octosari, and the idea is you play it because your hand is empty. So it's an interesting list. It's an aggressive list, and Highlander Hunter just in general I find so interesting, because Highlander Hunter specifically was the deck that I thought was going to be the weakest out of all of the possible Highlander decks when Oldham was announced, because Bran seemed like the least interesting explorer out of all of them. And it really didn't turn out that way. Dino Tamer Bran is really, really good. And Highlander Hunter kind of was a deck that came out right at the beginning. It stuck around, and post nerfs, even, it's been so much better. It's a really, really good deck. It's a really fun deck. And as all Highlander decks, there are a lot of potential flex spots. Like Garrett was saying, like the deck that he was playing was totally different than the deck that I was playing, because there's many different ways to play with this variant.
Yes, absolutely. So we have a link to Zalae's list in the show notes, and it's hosted on HS Replay, so you can see things like mulligan win rate matchups and all those kind of stats that I love seeing. I'm also going to make references to the most popular version of the Highlander Hunter. You don't need a link. You can literally go to like any website, and the one they post is the one I play. So it's not hard to find. It's the top Highlander Hunter deck on HS Replay at this exact moment. But it really did. It totally worked. You're right. We undervalued Dino Tamer Bran, but I also think we just undervalued things like Zephyrus, for example, just as other pieces of the Highlander puzzle that Hunter was going to have access to. And it's a very strong archetype for sure. Like all Highlander decks, it can kind of struggle with consistency. You have a chance for some really just god tier starts with this deck, whether you're playing like Zalae's list or you're playing the more kind of traditional, much more secret forward Highlander Hunter. But whichever one you're going to go with, you can open really strong. I think you have a higher chance of opening pretty fast with Zalae's list, because like you said, it tops out at Octosari. It's a strong deck. So Zalae's list, if you haven't looked at this, is like, so if the most popular one is basically like a riff on the Secret Hunter, this is kind of a riff on Mech Hunter. It's like Mech Hunter plus mid-range Hunter, because we could only put one of each card in. So we looked at both those archetypes and found the best cards in it and only put one of each card in this deck, plus things like Siamat, Zephyrus, Dino Tamer brand. I mean, you already mentioned Octosari. Like, this is a very mm-hmm. cool list.
Yeah, it is. It definitely borrows a lot from Mech Hunter. I mean, you've got your upgradable Framebot, which is a really interesting inclusion alongside. You've also got War Gear, which is just straight up good. If you can stick a mech at all, you can basically give it a 5-5 buff. If not, you've just got a 5-5 body. So, yeah, I think this deck is it's a little bit more aggressive than other Highlander versions. And I mean, you're kind of looking for all of your mech synergies early on. You're looking for like Shimmerfly, obviously. I think Shimmerfly is one of the ones that goes across both lists, right?
Yeah, Shimmerfly is in the most popular version as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you're kind of looking for your one drops and you want to get on to as quick a start as you possibly can. Because like I said, the idea is to put as much on the board and hit face as much as you possibly can so that if you happen to make it all the way to Octosari, you've got an empty hand. So I've had this deck totally, completely bomb for me because I've pulled all of my top end. But if you do get lucky, and there's a lot of stuff that's like 4 mana or less in this list, almost the entire list is 4 mana or less. So you're just trying to go as quickly as you can, put out as much stuff every turn as you can, and just kind of face.
There are 8 cards in this list that cost more than 4 mana.
Yeah. So yeah, it is. It's a very bottom heavy deck.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've played Mech Hunter, then you kind of know what to look for Mulligan here, because it runs things like Mecharoo, upgradable Framebot, Venomizer and the like. Those are things you're looking for. But it also runs Animal Companions. So that's another card that you're very much looking forward to keep. And if you have that, then you're also probably looking at Houndmaster going, all right, yeah, let's keep you. But I think Houndmaster is more dependent on if you've got Animal Companion, because so much of the other early game is based around mech here.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. I'm interested in the Secret Keeper variant, though. So like, how has that been working for you on ladder? Is the secret package working out in Highlander?
It's good. It's a strong deck. It has some of the healthiest matchups like across the board of any archetype you can play right now. Again, it's Highlander, though. So you do have those games, like you said, where you just draw poorly and there's not much you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Like I want to spend more time with Zalaes, because I like when I saw Octosari was in it, I'm like, oh, this kind of addresses one of my biggest gripes with the secret Highlander Hunter, which is that, like, I just feel there's like basically no card draw.
There's tracking.
Yeah. Right? So if you're playing on curve, like, or even like off curve, cause you got multiple low end, like low cost cards on a later turn, it can really feel like, oh, it's like you feel the engine like kind of choking out. It's like, oh God, I need a gas station. There's one 10 miles from here. I don't think I'm going to make it. It can sometimes feel like that. But you know, if you get the Octosari, obviously, like, just unload and go and draw. But overall, I like both versions a lot. I think this is what's really cool here, is because the Zalaes list is so, so very, very different from what we tend to see on ladder. But I think both have really good potential. I mean, if we just go to matchups on the Zalaes list, there's a lot of green. And the things that aren't in green are relatively close matchups. Things like Murloc Shaman, it has a 43% win rate against. Okay, so you're telling me I have a chance. So that's the kind of thing I'd like to see in a deck list.
Yeah, me too. I love feeling like, even if I am the unfavored deck, if I'm unfavored by 10% or less, then I actually feel like there's decisions that I can make and strategies I can change over the course of a game that doesn't make it one of those crazy polarized matchups, right? So as long as I feel like there's a chance and that decisions that I make can actually impact the outcome of the game, I am totally on board. So I'm looking for anything, you know, 40% or better.
Yeah, and both versions of the deck, like, there's obviously preferred hands you would like to start the game with, but there's even your weird hands, you have a high likelihood of having some way to interact with the board to get to where you need to be to live to the next draw, to see what's off, you know, comes off the top of your deck. Because yeah, you want Shimmerfly, but you don't get it. Well, maybe you got a Springpaw. Cool. That's a rush minion. It gives you another rush minion. You can actually control the board with that. You didn't get that. Maybe you got a Henchclan Hogsteed. It may not be at the top of the list of what you want to keep in your mulligan, but you know what? It still impacts the board. So there's just a lot of things. And the same I found was true with the secret Highlander hunter, because yeah, you're hoping for in that place, you're hoping for your secret keeper like that. You don't even think, you see it, you keep it. You're looking for your animal companion. You know, if you find your Sunreaver Spire, your mass contender, you're hoping for your rat trap, but you know, the other traps can work too. You just might have to play them strategically because they're, you know, everything except rat trap has a way higher chance of actually being triggered on the next turn.
Right. And I like that idea of keeping rat trap, just because like if you've got secret keeper and you've got your other secret synergies, because it is so difficult to trigger, especially early on. So if you want to make sure that you are actually controlling a secret early game to get some of these other power swings, then yeah, rat trap is an excellent keep. I like that.
Yeah, totally. And it keeps that engine going. It just triggers all of your secret synergy because it's basically guaranteed to always be up. And against some classes, it may never actually even be popped.
Depending on how they play.
So it's and that's what I like about these lists. And it's kind of true of a lot of Highlander decks, just because of the way it plays and because of the inconsistency of your draw. But what makes it interesting is that you can just log so many games and continue to find yourself in unique scenarios. And that's what's going to really separate a good Highlander player from a great Highlander player. And that's going to be just seat time, games logged. How many games can you play with this deck? How many scenarios can you find yourself in? Because you know what? You're not always going to have that perfect hand. If you're playing Zalaze list, you're not always going to have upgradable Framebot and Mekaru to get you started off on the right foot. If you're playing the secret one, you're not always going to have Secret Keeper. So how do you get there? How do you pilot this thing from a less than stellar start to a victory? And I find that so interesting. I love the improvisation that Highlander lists like invite you into.
Yeah, definitely. But we should talk about some of the points in the game that are the super big power spikes, right? So, I mean, in your list, and well, actually in both lists, I think both lists have the late game Siamat and Brand stuff, right?
Yeah, and those are like such a crux of this, whichever list you're playing, because these are the cards that, like, when you're evaluating cards in any card game, this is like the classic, this is good when I am behind and it's good when I'm ahead, like Siamat. And
yeah, no matter what, it's like, yeah, 2/4. Okay, that's pretty terrible, but that also brings me a King Crush and I can use to either, you know, save my butt against a bad board from my opponent, or just, you know, go to the face, which is what all hunters really want to do secretly. Even when you're playing control, air quotes, you know where you really want to go.
Yeah, man. When I think about it, we could not have undervalued Dino Tamer Brand anymore. Because you know what? I'd like to remind everybody, King Crush is a 9-mana card. Tamer Brand gives you a nine mana card for 7 mana and just throws in an extra 2/4 body for your efforts. Like that is just so good. But again, we were also living in Bomb Warrior meta, and I just had no hope for Highlander decks at that point. But
yeah, and I mean, on curve, Dino Tamer Brand is awesome, but my big concern with him was he going to be good enough if you didn't get him on turn 7? And since you had no way to pull for him, unless you're going to count tracking, which I'm not discounting tracking, but you know, if he was a beast, that opens up more options, right? So because you couldn't really scry for Dino Tamer Brand, I thought he was going to be worse than he turned out to be. And I don't necessarily think that that's because, you know, like it's worse to play him after the fact. I think there's just so many other things that you can do as a Highlander hunter that if you don't get Dino Tamer on 7, it's not the end of the world because you've got other really good options.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's a really strong option for control because it's just 8 damage that goes where you want it to go, you know, taunt notwithstanding. And the same goes for Siamat. You know, if you need the control, you can make your discover selections as needed. And if you don't, cool, divine shield and wind fury. And let's see if we can just drive home some killer damage the following turn. And that's what makes these two cards like such a huge power spike in this deck, but also just simultaneously a good piece of utility.
Yeah, very much so. And I think if you look at the Zalaze list, then his power spike comes a little bit earlier. I mean, obviously he has those two late game options, but he also has Shaw in the list, which is actually really interesting because, again, this kind of opens up more potential playstyles, I think, for this deck. Your primary playstyle is going to be face, kill you really quick. But Shaw on curve can be really good, too, if you're playing like to kind of fix those matchups that might not be as good for you against other kind of aggressive type decks. Like you want to remove those Murlocs, you want to swing the board back in your favor, and Shaw helps you do that a lot. So he's actually, depending on the matchup, he's very, very good. I wouldn't probably keep him in a mulligan, but he's quite an early game power swing against some of those more aggressive decks.
He demands the same respect that all of the mechs in this list like command. You're afraid of mechs exactly. Because of magnetic. If they stay on board until the next turn, there's the fear of anything getting magnetized to it. And Zalae's list runs war gear, so it's mildly terrifying because of that. But Shaw, without being a mech himself, just because of the fact that he's giving every minion in your deck rush, commands the same respect of this minion needs to die. And that's kind of exactly. if there's a cohesion between Zalae's list, it's like every minion in this basically needs to be dealt with because there is some sort of synergy. If anything sticks, if it's a beast, you've got the Houndmaster. If it's a mech, you've got basically every other mech in the list. And God help you, both lists run Zilliax because of course they do. But Zalae's list,
because of course, can
magnetize to the Zilliax.
Which I have done, and it's just gross. Like, I've gotten a war gear on it, and then it's like, oh, you know, all that damage you've done to me up to this point in the mid game? Yeah, I just healed that with one move. Like,
yeah, I haven't thought about Mech Hunter in a long time. I've been kind of down on it, kind of looking at it like, yeah, whatever, get out of here, you affordable ladder grinder deck, you. but Zalae's kind of mech forward Highlander list has made me kind of remember how kind of disgusting it can be when you can magnetize on the Zilliax instead of it just being a lone Zilliax just because the card is good by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's all solid. It's just shift gears back to the kind of popular meta one. Obviously, if you're talking like the top end, you got the Zul'jin, which again, in against control matchups, my God, I just forgot how greedy you can be with this card because I took a break from the Highlander list for a while. And if you're against Zul'jin's a slow matchup, just get as greedy as you want to be, man. It's disgusting.
Absolutely. And I think so Zalae's list, which is mostly minions, doesn't run Zul'jin. But I think in a secret based deck, Zul'jin is just great because I'm assuming the meta deck that you're using is also not only secrets, but you've probably got the six mana, 5/5 rush twin spell.
Yeah,
that I'm totally
Zalae's
blanking on the
list,
name now. And
Zalae's list doesn't run Unleash the Beast, which for me is like the bigger. That's where when I talk about being greedy, I'm mostly saying if I'm being greedy with Zul'jin, I'm waiting until after Unleash the Beast, like both cast of Unleash the Beast, because it's a twin spell. And if I'm not being greedy, I'm just deploying it, and usually that's against a faster matchup, and I just need traps to trip them up. But if I'm against another control deck, like I'm against Warrior, I'm waiting until I've just basically cast every damn thing I possibly can before I drop Zul'jin, because that game's going long.
Yeah, and you get so much value out of him. He's just such a powerful card. So yeah, I could obviously huge power spike.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, as far as matchups, as we mentioned, both these lists, really strong matchups across the board, especially against like popular decks right now, like Quest Druid, basically any mage, you have a really strong win rate against. Holy Wrath Paladin is super powerful right now, and this deck is really favored in that matchup. It's good against Priest. It's one of the closer ones, but still favored. Rogue, not really tournament popular right now, but you still run into them on the ladder from time to time. And then Quest Warlock, which are out there. It's good against all of that. You should watch out for things like Murloc Shaman and Zul'jin. That's where this deck seems to really struggle the most, is against particularly aggressive decks. But it still has a chance against most of these. It's not like...
Well, that's the thing. You're still looking at over 40% win rates, which makes me think if I just adjust myself slightly, then I'm able to get those wins where I maybe otherwise shouldn't. But yeah, I do think that if you're going up against your super, super, super fast stuff, like for some reason, Murloc Pally wrecks me way more than Murloc Shaman. Murloc Shaman, just I feel like I can always navigate, but Pally, for some reason, I think it's because they have the prismatic lens stuff where 100%. They can do this the seven Murlocs at a time.
Listen, Murloc Shaman and Murloc Paladin are both very strong decks. The difference is Murloc Shaman is a fair deck and Murloc Paladin isn't. Okay. Yeah. One has prismatic lens and one doesn't. And that's a big difference.
Very true.
Oh God. Prismatic Lens. I'm guilty of it. I want to get levels quick.
Oh yeah, it's a great deck.
Murloc Paladin all the time. But and your experience lines up 100% with mine and also with statistics. Murloc Shaman is a close matchup technically favored towards Murloc Shaman, but close. It's like you said, it's in the 40s. Murloc Paladin, however, straight up, I would call this unfavored. it can be rough. I've had a really hard time beating Murloc Paladins with Highlander Hunter. It's right now, Paladin is the one I sweat the most. If it's Holy Wrath, rad, but on ladder, it's almost equally, if not more likely, to be Murloc or even Quest Paladin, which also gives Highlander Hunter a hard time. So be on the lookout for Quest Paladin. I feel like, again, this is anecdotal, I've been seeing more of them lately. I mean, there was actually quite a few Quest Paladins in our tournament over the weekend. I know it's just our community. It's a small sample size, but seems to be getting more and more popular.
Yeah, and I think Quest Paladin is quite fun to play too. And we were talking about it when the quest was announced because, I mean, the old Death Knight Uther hero power of just even without the OTK potential, just putting a 2/2 instead of a 1/1 on the board every turn it's just such a pain. And when you compare that with some really awesome, you know, death rattles and things like that, then it gets out of control really quickly. So I'm glad that the Quest Paladin is kind of picking up steam a little bit because Holy Wrath has been around for a long time now. So, well, I guess since Rosticon, really, when Shervala was introduced. So it's nice to see some variants there and some different ways to play. And we'll add Secret Pally to that as soon as the event goes live. And I'm really stoked.
Yep, and then we'll play it and we're like, this is going to be so broken and we won't win a game and we'll all go back to Murloc Paladin.
Yeah,
because
very, very likely.
Dear God. Card. Absolutely insane. So, so we got a link to Zalay's list in the show notes. Make sure you go and check that out. And that's actually going to wrap it up for the show. We're at almost 2 hours. I mean, yeah, we had a couple technical difficulties there. Thank you for bearing with us, everybody. Don't know what was going on with Discord today. But, you know, it happens every now and then, Joss. I feel like we're pretty lucky.
We have been, knock on wood, we've been pretty lucky over the last, 6 years to generally have not a lot of tech issues, but every once in a while.
This has been a rough year because of the Skype just bullshittery. Like Skype is horrible now. I don't know what they did, but it is basically unusable. We've been having the switch services a lot, but yeah, Discord overall has been working good, but didn't work very well for us today. So we'll have to see if that hopefully fixes itself. But that's going to bring us to the end of this show. Keep the emails coming, everybody. TACpodcast@gmail.com if you want to write in. If you're supporting us on the Patreon, make sure you attach your Discord to your Patreon account because congratulations, you are now in the Angry Chicken Patreon Discord where you can contact us directly. You can do a little @Garrett and an @Joss in there and we'll see it. It's great. Just, you know, be nice. I want to like @Garrett, your hair is stupid. I will just reply, I know. You didn't have to notify me for that. But if you like the show,
I disagree. You should definitely notify him for that.
Don't say that, Joss. People will listen to you. People listen to you.
I know. I'm sorry.
They don't listen to me. They listen to you. Even though you're a unicorn at the moment because your video just like took a dump in Discord. Anyways, if you dig the show, you want to support us, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/TAC. You can help us to get to such an insane level of support that we will just decide to move to the same location. We'll pick a country and a location to where we won't need to do VoIP anymore. We'll just open a studio, Jocelyn. That's the dream.
Love it.
That's
love
the dream. It. We just need roughly 20 times the patrons we currently have.
Give or take.
Yeah. If everyone that downloaded this show gave $1, we could do that.
Yes, we
like,
could.
Like, and have money left over and like give to charity and become philanthropists. It would be wonderful.
You could just come live in Canada. It'd be great.
Yeah. Come live in Canada. But you have like one, you have internet problems up there. I don't know. I mean, I know
when there's a giant house shaking thunderstorm.
You also have like data limits, you know. I don't know, man. I don't have to deal with that here.
It's way better up here. It's way better up here.
It's very cold. It's very cold. We'll get a Caribbean island. How does that sound?
But then it's going to be very hot and I'll melt. Why are we even talking about this?
You'll eventually get a tan. Anyways, patreon.com/CAC. You can help us buy our own island and talk Hearthstone on it. Other than that, huge thanks to our producers, Declan H, Sean C, and Cheesy Bob, who help us produce the show. Big backers over on the Patreon. We appreciate it. The whole back catalog of episodes are at amove.tv or on the YouTube, youtube.com/amovetv, where you can usually see our smiling faces on the video version, although Jocelyn is currently a unicorn. I mean, you're always a unicorn. It's just that today...
I am always a unicorn, Garrett.
You are in your unicorn form. You can follow the show on Twitter at TAC Podcast, and you can typically catch us Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/AMoveTV. But before we go, Jocelyn, you do things other than the Angry Chicken. There is more to you than meets the Hearthstone eye. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. I do highly recommend following the Twitch channel because we are about to start Extra Life. It is now October, which is very, very exciting. I love October anyways, but I also like raising money for charity. So we have a couple of different streams happening in October. I'm going to be streaming on Saturday, October 12th, as well as Saturday, October 26th for Extra Life. So if you guys are interested in supporting that stream, following the Twitch channel helps, spreading the link really helps, as well as obviously being there on the day. And if you can, any monetary donations towards the cause are very much appreciated. It does support the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. I'm going to be doing, like I said, 2 12-hour streams in October and 2 more in November. So do go check it out. Again, that is October 12th and October 26th. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you guys for an extended period of time.
I'm going to double down on that. Make sure you go and support Jocelyn's Extra Life efforts. I'm going to show up when I can. We'll see how that works out with all of my travels, but I want to come and throw down and be terrible in some games. Maybe I'll get to run around and scream like a little child playing Dead by Daylight with you.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm really, really hoping we have some really cool like made up game modes. I'm going to try to get enough people into Dead by Daylight because I feel like I almost have 200 hours into the game now. And so I feel like no matter which team I'm on, the killer or survivor, considering most of the people I play with are not Dead by Daylight players. So I don't want to tilt the game too far in one or the other direction. So we're actually like making up Joss restrictions, basically. So like as the killer, I'm not allowed to do anything until there's only one generator left and, you know, stuff like that. So there's going to be some really awesome, like tie both hands behind my back and see if I can kill you guys moments. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Rad. I can also be found on Twitter at Garrett Art. Everything I do is at amove.tv. I'm traveling, so there'll be no streams this week, but when I get back, I'll be back Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on the twitch.tv/amovetv channel, playing Classic and drinking coffee. So come on over, watch me level, and we'll enjoy some caffeine together. But none this week, because tomorrow morning before the sun is up, I have to get on a plane. I'm not looking forward to it.
Sad face.
So, Jocelyn, we'll leave on a question. We don't usually do this, but it is in the chat. So, before we go, what lens do you look at to decide if a deck is fair or not? And to that, I would answer, does Prismatic Lens draw me a card that plays all the Murlocs in my deck? That's my answer.
Job's done?
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
There's like a lot of news to talk about. I don't know why I said that like a valley girl. There's like a lot of news to talk about.
There's like so totally so much like news and stuff. Let's like do it.
Oh my God. There's like so much news going on. I can't even deal. There's so much Hearthstone news. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening. Like can't my God, Jocelyn. Oh my God. Where's my Chihuahua? I need to hold it while I'm talking like this.
Oh, you need to grab one of Katie's purses and put a Chihuahua in it. then you will have gone. Old Valley girl.
Scott, who says, Garrett sounds like he needs a pumpkin spice latte. Hey, I'm not above a pumpkin spice. I don't go crazy
pumpkin
about
pumpkin spice
them.
Lattes are amazing.
Listen, I don't go crazy about them like everyone else does. But like, if there's one hanging around, I will gladly drink that pumpkin spice latte.